This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots. A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Afternoon here on WEEI Afternoons. It is a beautiful spring-like day here in Boston and all over New England. Nick Fitzy Stevens. We are, you're not going to break my mood. I went for a nice run. Sun's out, guns out, shorts on, baby. I am feeling good. And the Patriots free agency, when you sleep on it, I think it looks even better on day two.
This is ultimately hilarious. I need to check and see if, like, there was a watermelon next to your bed last night and, like, Alien Andy woke up today and took over and, like, a body snatchers thing. You accusing me of not being able to break a y'all stride or foul up your mood is utterly hilarious. And you trumpeting and cheerleading for the New England Patriots after uncharacteristically aggressive shopping spree part two, defensive boogaloo yesterday. A downright laugh riot, sir.
Give me a little sunshine. Give me a little warm temps. Give me a little money spent on good football players. It's not the be-all, end-all, cure-all. Do I still have concerns about your New England Patriots? Obviously. If I'm Drake May, I'm still wondering, hey, when I turn my back, who's going to protect it? You got to have somebody protecting your blind side. Maybe that's Will Campbell. Maybe I'll fight Ted Johnson about that at 3 o'clock because more and more it looks like you're going to have to acquire your starting left tackle in the draft, whether that's number 4 overall pick Will Campbell, whether that's trade down and get Kelvin Banks, whether that's Mike Giardi's guy. Does he slip into the late first round or second round?
Joshua Simmons out of the Ohio State, OH.
Somewhere in that group of collegiate left tackles, would-be left tackles, You're going to have to find a starter, and you still got to find me a wide receiver. Now, there's still possibilities out there. Yes, Dan Ball, early interaction. Proceed.
This is directly to Fitzy. I.O., continue.
Thank you very much. You can't leave that unfinished.
Yeah, I hate the Ohio State. Despise
well, so do it. I. I'm married into a Michigan family, but if you start a college rally cry, you have to finish it.
No, I put a bullet in that rally cry.
If I were to go, you know, someone else has to go Pig Suey.
Yeah, I'm not doing that on the radio either. But yes, there was a lot of good movement initially yesterday from your New England Patriots. We're going to continue to parse through that, react to that, see if day two has changed any of your thoughts. Because there's certainly, as I perused the internet, Fitzy, and various columns and verbal reactions and different things, it wasn't unanimous A's. There were some weird low grades in there. I think most people probably are somewhere in the middle as they sort of settle on needs that were checked off, but needs that continue to exist for this team. We'll get into Milton Williams, who's the big fish, $26 million a year. There are even some people that have, I don't want to say concerns about him, but questions about can he live up to that money, because he's leaving a really good defense where he was surrounded by really good talent. Now he's going to come here, he's going to play more with less around him, and he makes more money, so immediately the expectations are going to be higher. He faces that challenge of kind of rising. We'll see if he's up to that. But all told, I don't know how you can wake up today. Hell, I even had to call the Easy Pass people and only waited 26 minutes on hold before I got through while driving to work. And even that wasn't going to be a bad thing, because a very nice woman helped me out very quickly with what I needed. So, Fitzy, the flowers aren't quite blooming yet, but in my world, the flowers are blooming in Patriot Nation.
All right. Well, here we are. It's almost Wednesday. Thank you, sir.
That was a Fitzy-like open to a Six Rings postgame show, wasn't it?
I always begin with a Foxborough filibuster to set the stage on the postgame show for a couple minutes. Sometimes I also have to yam jam just because we have some connectivity issues. But I like to set the table on the day, and then off we go, and then drunk people, miscreants, and whatnot call in.
Good day, mate.
And it's a good time had by all. Literally halfway around the world, no less, sometimes. So I too am not just fine. I am not even just content. I am most pleased with the work put in by Mike Vrabel, Ryan Cowden, the Wolf of Ball Street, the Kraft family, who authorized the $246 million, I believe, guaranteed, that was spent yesterday. 160-something guaranteed, 250-something overall. That is some big money. That is not cheap change by any stretch of the imagination. I like the direction that half of the football team is headed. And if the other half of the football team, led by Josh McDaniels, an experienced multiple Super Bowl winning coordinator, is half as competent and is as aggressive throughout the remainder of free agency and into the draft, Andy, there is reason right now in Patriots Nation fans should take heart and be not just happy with the efforts put forth by their team, but they should really be looking forward to each and every step along the way. I don't want to just rush right to the first Sunday after Labor Day right now. I can't wait to hear about minicamp. I want to hear who pops, who flashes, what's going on. I can't wait to go to training camp. I think there's going to be actual buzz again. Remember last year, we did some live shows. We did a whole lot of Six Rings. There were empty stands. Yes, I understand the days were very hot. There was not a lot of star power on the practice fields behind Gillette. Now there's going to be excitement because of Mike Vrabel's football team that thus far has adopted the tone, tenor, and style of their coach. And to all those outlets that gave the Patriots a D or an F on some of their signings and their grades, clickbait, thy name is Sports Illustrated. Come on now. It's not perfect, but you have to be reasonably impressed with what they put out yesterday.
Reasonably impressed is a great way to put it. And it's funny that you bring up the training camp practices, the stands, the buzz, because I do think that's an area where they may still be lacking. Because when I look at those signings, we always talk about the jersey test. Which one of those jerseys would you go buy, Fitzy? You get your kids. They grow fast. So kids like yours, they go through jerseys every year or two.
There was a sale at Patriots.com today. I preemptively purchased, while on sale, larger sweatshirts for them to fit into next year today, because that's how fast they grow.
Absolutely. But what jersey would you buy them from yesterday?
From yesterday?
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a chance I might be getting some Williams.
You would buy a D-tackle jersey.
Yeah, remember, people used to wear Seymour's. Big Say 93 would be often found and around. But number 75, I would say, in the first half of the Dynasty, Andy, that was a top five seller behind Brady, Branch, and Welka.
I don't know. Maybe. But I also think back then, Brisky. It was, I don't want to say ironic, it was alternative, I guess, is sometimes either people, A, already had the Brady, and it's like, well, what second jersey do I want to get? You know what? I want to go as far away from the quarterback star power position as possible. I'm going to get the nose tackle. He's awesome. Or I'll get a Logan Mankins jersey. Or
I'm a real football fan.
Yeah, Big Say.
I'm going to get the long snapper, bro.
You're not at that now. Now it's like, whoa, no. The first jersey I buy, and I guess to be fair, the first jersey you buy is probably one of the two holdover stars from a year ago. It's Drake May and Christian Gonzalez. And they're probably one and two in that order back and forth. I still think both of those guys, if I were buying a jersey, would be atop my list ahead of anybody that they signed yesterday. To me, they acquired really good football players at a number of positions yesterday. They didn't acquire star power because the reality is star power is usually offensive. Star power is usually quarterbacks, people who throw the ball or catch the ball or rush the passer at a high level. Or stop the passer at a high level. And I'm not sure Milton Williams fills any of those criteria.
Not yet, but if we see him in action, if he's tearing through the Patriots' makeshift plaster of Paris offensive line in practice sessions and training camp, if he flashes in the preseason or has a couple games early on where it's like, whoa, boy, this guy is going to command an immediate double team, we could see a little star power jersey move. There could be a little merch mania for old Milty there. I also would like to add this, that now that he played a full healthy season, sure, he missed the final game of the year in a preventative measure after he was diagnosed or at least put in the protocol following the debacle against the Chargers. I think now that he's played a full season, Christian Gonzalez's star is on the rise even more. And if anything, it may get bigger now because he's going to be part of one of the possibly five best cornerback tandems in the NFL with Carlton Davis by his side. So I could see Gonzo's zero jersey also moving the needle a little bit this coming year.
Oh, absolutely. I think May and Gonzo are by far your two top sellers until you prove otherwise. And there were opportunities out there. Like DK Metcalf would have been a jersey that I'm guessing the second that trade goes down, you have pre-orders splash page. Is that still a thing? Is this 1997? Pre-order splash page on Patriots.com where they're like, we'll take them, we'll take your money, we'll figure out how to get you a jersey. He would have been one. Davante Adams would have been one. But I still think there's even opportunities to add star power, splash. I think Cooper Kupp is a guy that if you were able to acquire Cooper Kupp either via Shime's idea, throw a late round pick at the Rams so that he never hits the open waters and just bring him in.
It's such a no-brainer to me. I'm legitimately sitting here wondering in conversation with you why the Patriots haven't done it now. It's such a no. Well, it's been the money, Andy. It's got to be. They got to hope the Rams cut him so they can renegotiate the deal. It's got to be the money.
Or it's on the other side of the negotiation. I think maybe there's a chance that the Rams do one of those Cooper Kupp has done so much for us. He's earned the right for freedom. You know, a little Tom. He's not Tom Brady. But, you know, he's earned the right to decide where his future takes him. We're not just going to grab a seventh-round pick and ship him to Siberia, as they call it, New England. That was my theory, is they're just giving him a little bit of a veteran. Now, if somebody said, we'll give you a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp, I think they would have to be like, hey, love you, mean it, much respect, franchise legend, but they're offering a second-round pick. I got to ship you somewhere. But I don't know that anybody's going to do that with the fact that he hasn't played a full season in 4 years? 3 years?
Since 2021. He has missed parts of 22, 23, and 24. But 24, up until the tail end of the season when there was a little bit of the check engine light coming on and he somehow started getting phased out of the offense, in 2024, he flashed again. I don't think I need remind anybody, like when the Patriots foolhardily sent a zero blitz at him to open the third quarter because they couldn't really stop the Rams offense in the first half. And Matthew Stafford dropped a 68-yard drop in the bucket for a touchdown.
So obviously we are still reacting to Patriots free agency, all the moves across the NFL, the moves that could still be coming. The lists are pretty picked thin. Cam Robinson is still out there if you believe he is a high-end left tackle. I don't necessarily believe that, but we'll continue to react over the next 4 hours to anything that happens. 617-779-7937. You can call, you can text. And Fitzy, reacting to our jersey talk, I like this one from the 617. The only QB jersey I own is Grogan. After that, it was Johnson, Brewski, Harrison, Mayo, yeah. Hightower. That is an old school hardo. I like the tone of it right off.
That person drives a Ford Pinto to the Patriots tailgates and probably still smokes Kents.
But he's proud of the fact that the only QB, his QB is Grogan. Forget that freaking Brady guy. Get out of here, you pansy. Hey,
Stevie Neckroll was an absolute legend.
Oh, 100%.
It also helps when you have the greatest guard in NFL history clearing people out of the way for you on your naked boots to the left.
No question, man. He was part of the record-setting running attack in those late 70s teams. He was phenomenal, and some of his yards per attempt, he would have games where he'd throw like 12 passes, but every one of them was like for 60 yards or something. He put up some crazy statistical numbers, but we are reacting. Fitzy, what was your favorite? So if Milton Williams is the guy you might consider buying a jersey for, and next segment we'll get into what the pushback is against Milton Williams, but if he's the guy you might consider buying a jersey for, what was the best overall move yesterday for the New England Patriots? What will have the best impact on the Mike Vrabel coach New England Patriots right out the gates in 2025?
I can't believe that it's going to be a guy that I was vastly unfamiliar with until yesterday, but the more I read up on, the more highlights I watched last night, as one in many of us probably did a lot of cursory YouTube highlight comp reel searches, Robert Spillane may have the most immediate impact of all of the players signed yesterday and may most immediately fit into and become fan favorite with his playing style, with the fact that he's been healthy. Spill, as the Hoister reminded us, he is nicknamed one of his favorite teammates from a couple of years ago in Vegas. This guy just has football menace 101 written all over him. And Andy, not since, of course, previously the days of Brewski, when there was a linebacker flying all over the field making highlight plays fans loved, followed by a linebacker that wore the same number, different playing style, but was as clutch as anybody ever got in Dont'a Hightower. Spillane has big shoes to step into. Doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to be afraid to try to step into those shoes or be daunted by the challenge. So I'm fired up to watch him play.
Yeah, I am too. I'm a linebacker guy. I don't have all the jerseys that the texter just enumerated on the text line, but I like linebacker play. And no disrespect to Juwan Bentley, but Juwan Bentley's the kind of guy you can read the post-game book and say, wow, you really had 12 tackles? I can't really remember more than one or two of them. I feel like, because a lot of them happen 6 yards downfield.
I can remember
just
one signature play he made, Andy.
Yeah, yeah, and that's my point. Whereas Spillane, I think, is a guy who you're going to be like, oh, my God, he's everywhere. When they run, he's there. When they run wide, he's there. When they throw to the tight end, he's there. I think he's going to put up, and obviously the last couple of years, he's put up basically 150 tackles two straight years for the Raiders. I think he's going to be making plays, so I think that's a good one. But I'm going to go with the, I think, semi-obvious one as well. So Milton Williams is a consideration. I think Robert Spillane, consideration. Somebody might say Harold Landry. I'm going to say Carlton Davis. I think he is a cornerback that when you pair him with the young all-pro superstar and you say, this guy could be probably a bottom six number one corner in the NFL, there are teams, hell, the Patriots in past years at times might have said, oh, yeah, that guy could be our number one corner. Now he's your number two corner, a veteran presence, a guy to help Gonzalez improve. But also, when Gonzo reaches the point where teams are just like, yeah, I'm not going to throw at him. I'm not going to throw in his direction. It doesn't work when I throw in his direction. Now you're throwing in Carlton Davis's direction. He can take advantage of those opportunities. And the trickle-down effect that allows Jonathan Jones to either, well, assuming he re-signs, I think I have a good feeling that he may re-sign. If he re-signs, he's either in the slot or he's playing some safety. They're giving you multiple corner looks. Marcus Jones is in the slot. I think the whole secondary falls into place better with the arrival of Carlton Davis. I think we're going to look back on that and really marvel at the fact that they invested, right? They paid
handsomely. 18 mil guaranteed a season. You know, he can earn up to 20. That's That's not top of market. He's not in the Surtain, J.C. Horn stratosphere. He
right.
got, you know, Charvarius Ward also right there with him yesterday, $19 million a season. That's what you're going to pay top of market for a CB2/1.
And I just think that's such a marquee position. That is the marquee position they checked off, was cornerback, right? You know, I don't think they checked off marquee pass rusher. They certainly didn't get a tackle or a wide receiver. And we'll get into Mac Hollins as well, because we got to talk about where he fits in on this team and where he fits in the landscape of, you know, whatever he brings to the table, walking barefoot into every stadium and the whole, I don't even know what that is, shtick.
Vrabel is going to love him.
Is he?
Well, I mean, he signed off on it. I'll say this, guys. I'll say this about the one little thing about him. When other fan bases immediately take to social media to decry the loss of a one-year wide receiver who's also a part-time special teamer and costumed entrance maker, saying, oh, no, this is a huge loss for us, you got to think you gained a little something. Some of those intangibles you can't deny this team needs, Andy.
Yeah, just put shoes on. That would be my response to that. Just put shoes on when you arrive at the game. Maybe a shirt, too. No shoes, no shirt,
I was
no play.
Ripped like that. I wouldn't wear a shirt all year.
They're all ripped like that. Hell.
He is absolute jacked.
Ted Johnson's jacked, but I want him to have a shirt and shoes on when he enters the studio and joins the show. I mean, there's certain decorum in this world. Yes, Dan?
Preferably a happy shirt when we see him at three. Shirt.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Have you ever questioned the reporting of Greg Bedard and how plugged in the man is? Milton Williams is clean everywhere, Keith. Like, that's some real inside reporting. Like,
everywhere?
You want to talk about somebody who knows top to bottom, front to back.
Listen, you're going to give someone $100 million. You need to check everything. Let me check under the hood here. We need measurements on everything. What's the cleanliness?
He's clean everywhere.
Everywhere.
Okay, well, now, right, let me tell you.
Check his browser history?
I don't know.
Sure about that?
I don't know who your sources are, but like, I'm done asking if you know that.
Can we see your phone? Like, no. Did not see my phone. Let's see here. History. Okay. Oh. All right. We'll sign you. So that's good. You don't have to worry about Milton Williams, apparently.
Nope. No.
Like that.
He's clean everywhere.
Clean as a whistle.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We will talk to Rob Bradford.
Bradfo.
What's going on with the Red Sox?
Guys are dropping like flies down there.
A little Bradfo Sox talk at 11:30. If he's assaulted or been accosted by any mascots down in Florida, I'd like to know.
He is fighting mascots.
So we'll get to that. We'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket, 11:45. We have new options for you today. I think we're doing the 7-10 matchups.
It's the first time I found a matchup, yeah, and Keefe, I didn't like either one.
Keefe was hating on one of my submissions, and I believe one of your submissions, Billy, earlier today. He hates your Pacers submission, and he hates my Jazz submission. To which I say,
sounds like somebody who lost the combine.
Yeah. sounds to me like maybe Brad Marchand had a point about
sounds
Keith.
Like somebody finished third in the show combine.
Still on the podium. You know, bronze medal's a medal.
Yeah.
You know, people are excited about that.
I would say now I'm starting to shift back to Brad Marchand side
in this
debate.
Terrible uniforms.
But anyway, you can vote all day
please
long.
Please do.
In the 7-10 matchup, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. The full bracket on Twitter and Instagram again, at Jones and Keefe. Plus, we'll put the Celtics on the clock at high noon. Why they will repeat.
Ooh, it's going to be tough for me to do that.
And maybe more importantly, why they won't repeat.
Easier today.
Again, at high noon. Don't miss it here on Jones and Keefe. Let's knock out some phone calls, and then we'll get into the Patriots.
All right.
Are they being too choosy in free agency? Are they too focused on culture? And then on top of that, focusing on your culture and your locker room and your leadership, and you released David Andrews today.
Huh.
Is he retiring? Is he not retiring? What's going on there? All your thoughts on it. Again, it's 617-779-7937. Mike's in Brockton, waiting patiently on the Celtics. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I called you guys a couple months ago, and, you know, I know you guys are talking about the level of concern. Mine's gone up just a little bit because I'm still seeing the same thing when they're playing teams that are physical. They spent a lot of time complaining about calls last night. And it wasn't the greatest, you know, officiated game, but it seemed like every play, hands went up in the air. That's, you know, I didn't get a foul or whatever. And I think it affected them, you know, offensively. I also think that they struggle, on the glass and stuff with physical athletic teams. I didn't realize how good defensively, what's his name was last night.
The Thunder.
A lot of
are you saying specific
the ball?
Are you saying specifically SGA or the Thunder in general?
The Thunder in general.
Okay.
I mean,
I actually thought SGA was pretty decent defensively.
No, I think it's one of those things where you don't really, maybe you don't see them play a lot, and obviously they only played the Celtics so far once, and this is their final game in the regular season against them. And you can hear a team is good defensively. You can hear what the stats are. We were talking to Terp about it yesterday during our Pure Hoops segment,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, yeah, they're the best defensive team in the league. And then you see it, and you're like, oh, there's no like weak link. There's no guy that you can go at and score. Because that's one of the things, when the Celtics, a lot of their lineups, they have five different guys that can score. So they can find the weakness in your defense and just exploit that until you make a change and whatever else. The Thunder constantly have five good defenders on the floor. Not a lot of teams do in the NBA.
No, and they have enough offense, obviously.
Yeah, they
you
do.
Know,
they
I mean, especially
do.
If they're going to get Chet Holmgren going like he was going. But to your point, Keith, you've now seen it twice. Mm-hmm. Twice with the Celtics against the Thunder, struggling against that defense. Last night, the number was it 5 of 27? I had it earlier. Hang on.
What, in the
5
second
of
half?
27 in the second half from 3. Where
ugh.
The Thunder basically gave them 3s in the first half. When they switched it up defensively in the second half and they said, no, we're going to run you off the line and we're going to run Tatum off the line. And guess what? If you want to go one-on-one with SGA, go for it. And Tatum was settling for, I thought, worthless fall-away jump shots. He made one. He missed two more.
Uh-huh.
And then the Celtics in the first matchup in OKC scored 27 points combined.
They had a rough second half.
In the second half, 15 in the third, 12 in the fourth. So,
all right, so play this out.
We've seen it twice out of the Thunder this
if
year.
They, and that's the thing. Is like, it's so much easier to write off one game. It's so easy to do that. It's 82 mm-hmm. games, and you could, oh, there's this. Who was there? You know, back-to-backs, blah, blah, blah. If you play a seven-game series with Oklahoma City and they give you threes, let me ask it this way. Can the Thunder win that way? Like, is that a smart tactic to give the Celtics so many threes, or don't they have enough guys that can shoot them? And if you're playing zone, or if you're just like, you know, doubling and allowing these threes to be taken, and if the Celtics, they don't need to make 50%, but if they make 35% of them, don't you lose more of those games?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Thunder were kind of letting them take threes in the first half. The Celtics were making them at a high clip,
yeah,
and the Thunder were up three after one,
they're up three at
halftime.
Yeah, they're up three at halftime. Yeah,
so I don't know. I mean, that was still working for them in the first half. The Celtics took the,
but they gave up 60 points.
No,
so like, as good as they were defensively, like that's way more than they're accustomed to
it's
giving up.
That's a fair point. And is that the right method to answer your question? Probably not.
Yeah.
Although again, they were up on the Celtics playing that way in the first half. But I agree, that's probably not the way to do it. I thought their defense was impressive, and I thought their ability to switch, and I mean switch styles, not switch off different bodies, which they did as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, like some of the lineups they have, they can get be big.
But switch styles and ask the Celtics to do something different?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a scary thing about the Thunder for sure. 617-779-7937, you can jump in on David Andrews and the Patriots' moves, or lack thereof, as well. Eddie's in New Hampshire on the Pats. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, we didn't like what happened with the Celtics game last night. Anyway, remember Vrabel said 3 weeks ago in the Globe, we need talent, right?
Right. Yeah, he said that in the press conference.
In the draft, what he's saying is we need to draft some talent. So who's in charge of drafting the talent?
Who do you think's in charge of drafting the talent, Keith? I think it's pretty clear. No, don't you dare.
No, it's Vrabel.
Don't
Vrabel.
You dare. Look, I was as fearful as anyone. I mean, the guy was a real phone call. I was as fearful
yeah,
as anyone.
That was great.
Elliot Wolf, still being here and still having a role. That doesn't appear to be the case. Now, I don't get why he's here. They should have fired him. I still don't like that he's here, but I'm not willing to bend the knee and say he doesn't have any say. This is all Vrabel. So the moves I like, Vrabel. The moves I don't like, for instance, releasing David Andrews today, that's Vrabel. So
cleaning house.
Who's drafting it for? Vrabel. I'm now willing to say that's clear.
Yeah, no, I would say so. And he obviously is trying to bring in talent. They were as aggressive as any team first day of free agency. You don't have to like all the signings, but they brought in a lot of bodies. Like they got mostly on defense, but they brought in a ton of bodies. The last couple of days have been quiet around the entire league. Now, they have a press conference today at 1 o'clock, and we're going to have it for you here on the show.
I should have mentioned that. Good job bringing that up.
I'm curious, though. They haven't really said who exactly is going to be there and what they're saying. So is it some of the players introducing them? The only one they've officially announced is Harold Landry. But I would assume maybe Mike Vrabel, maybe Elliot Wolf, maybe just sort of like give us an update on what's going on free agency-wise. We'll see. We're all ears at 1 o'clock.
Let me give you the only person who's given much detail on it was Andrew Callahan. Let me find his tweet. But it was something like they're going to make front office people available, but also maybe some players.
Okay.
So I'll be honest, I don't really know what we're getting at 1 o'clock.
Should be fun, regardless.
I would hope it's Vrabel and to a lesser degree Wolf, but they're obviously going to be busy. I don't know how much I need to hear from a bunch of the players necessarily.
So they announced this yesterday that they're going to hold this press conference Thursday, 1 o'clock. It almost feels like we're done. Free agency's done for us.
It does. Although,
now, maybe not.
Although, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they doing something on Friday too? Did you see that, Nick?
What in the world?
I think they have something planned Friday as well. I thought I saw.
Okay.
The Patriots are holding a press conference tomorrow at Gillette Stadium set for 1 p.m. to discuss day one free agent signings. It indicates that team leadership will be made available and possibly some players as well.
Okay, so Patriots press availability tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the media workroom.
Yeah, Patriots are also inviting media back Friday at 1 p.m.
Ooh, Monday, March 31st, Mike Vrabel at the AFC Coaches Breakfast.
Oh.
At the annual meetings.
OJ so jokes.
A juice picture.
Get OJ jokes.
Get him a juice.
That'll be good.
I like it.
Vrabel will be in the team photograph there with all the other coaches that Bill used to not do.
Uh-huh.
That'll be nice.
And then we'll get Vrabel again pre-draft, April 15th, looks like. Coordinators, early April. So, yeah, they released some of this stuff yesterday.
617-779-7937. Good question by John in the Twitch chat. Jones, is Andrews still good?
I mean, he only played 4 games last year. If you think the injury knocked him out and he's never going to be good again, or does he recover from that? He's not older than dirt. Like, I think he could come back and be good.
My answer is, I don't know, but I'm with Keith. I think so, but my answer is, I don't know. How's he recovering from this injury? I have no real clue. But this also wasn't on my radar that they were going to release him. It was on my radar he might retire, and maybe that's still the ultimate end game. Reset that tweet earlier today, where I think if you read between the lines, he's hinting at retirement, but I don't know. It wasn't on my radar that they were going to release him. And if they're releasing him and he's going to continue playing somewhere else, I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that whole thing, if he goes and plays somewhere else, because they released a couple of other guys or didn't re-sign a couple of other guys that were older, like long-tenured Patriots, and they're moving on. So it seems like they're willing to move on. The question now just becomes, is David Andrews moving on from his career? Is he going to, you know, call it a career, which he could, very successful, Super Bowl rings, the whole nine? Or does he say, I don't want to go out like that. I don't want to go out, you know, week 5 with an injury and be done my career that way.
So we thought we'd come in today, Keith, and maybe have some news on the Patriots adding people.
It's been quiet the first day.
Turns out they subtracted. Yeah. David Andrews adding on offense is what I meant to say. Turns out they subtracted. Cooper Kupp, still a free agent. A lot of teams apparently interested. Jaguars, Broncos, Seahawks, maybe the Patriots. So I know you were more down on the idea of bringing in Cooper Kupp, or the likelihood they bring him in. You want to bring him in.
I want him badly. I hate their chances. If all these teams, so they needed a trade for him. They decided they didn't want to trade for him. So maybe that just speaks to they don't really want him. because if there's this many teams interested, you're not going to get him for free. And also, why would he choose you? We already went over this before. If you're not going to have far and away the most money offered, then you're not going to win the tiebreaker. The location, the offense, even the quarterback who we like is not going to win a tiebreaker over Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or even Jordan Love. I know he's not coming off a great season, but the Packers is a team that got thrown out there. They could be right back in the playoffs again next year. I'm guessing Cooper Kupp, if all these offers are somewhat equal, he wants to go back to the playoffs. He wants to go back to a Super Bowl.
You got
to
blow him away.
Yeah.
And are the Patriots going to blow
Unlikely.
Him away?
Unlikely.
I think on offense, they've been too choosy, too picky. Never mind some of the structure of the deals, which you talked about yesterday, digging in on the Milt the Stilt contract. By the way, he's clean everywhere, if you didn't hear that earlier today.
Everywhere.
From Greg Bedard. And I mean everywhere.
Yeah, nice.
But I do wonder if they're being a little too choosy on some of these free agents when it comes to their fit in the room, the team's chemistry and culture, all these things, right? And I think they needed to address some of their issues last year. But have they gone too far with it? Has the pendulum swung too far? And are they too picky and too choosy? Let me give you an example.
Okay.
I was reading Phil Perry yesterday. And Phil writes, the Patriots, their pursuit of Laremy Tunsil, who got dealt to the Commanders. Commanders were in the NFC title game last year. They have a second-year quarterback. They gave up effectively second- and third-round picks. He says the value on the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, with all the picks that swap back and forth, nets out to a late second-round pick.
Okay.
For Laremy Tunsil. Okay.
Yeah, it's not doesn't seem like much.
Right. I agree. That doesn't seem like much, which tells me, based on how poor the Texans were last year in terms of protecting C.J. Stroud, how Tunsil is now on his third team, I wonder how he's really viewed in the league.
True.
And Phil writes about this. He says, the best answer as to why the Patriots didn't end up swinging a deal for Laremy Tunsil might be another question. Why was Houston looking to deal him? The Texans have a young quarterback, as we just mentioned, in C.J. Stroud, and a roster talented enough to win right now. Making the team's choice to part with a proven high-level left tackle, a curious one. But Tunsil has developed a reputation for having a motor that runs hot and cold.
Remember how he came into the league?
Yeah, with a gas mask.
Yeah. And that was the biggest story, like leading into the draft. It was like right. It was like the day of the draft, the day before. There's like a video of him
gas mask,
with a gas mask hits or whatever it was. Yeah.
Tom, I'm not. You know, the biggest.
He kind of fell in the draft a little bit. Right?
Yeah, no, he did. Definitely did.
Fell. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it was, right? He was ripping bong hits out of a gas mask or whatever it was.
Yeah.
His practice habits are not considered high-end.
Brian has it quick on the Twitch.
There it is. Good job, Brian. Great work. Look at this guy.
That cost him a few million bucks. He went from like the top five pick. Where did he go, 10 overall, something like that?
I don't recall. But that could have been a Patriot right there. Look at him.
Did that come out during the draft?
I think it came out like the day before.
I think it was the day of
clearly,
the draft, maybe.
Clearly.
He was the 13th pick.
Teams are trying to get him to fall. That's clearly what happened. Like, that got leaked for a reason, trying to get him to fall in the draft, and it worked. He fell to 13. His practice habits are not considered high-end, and he led all tackles and penalties last year.
10 minutes before the draft was set to begin.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they were trying to get him to fall. If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, there might also be some questionable flags in the background,
Twitter
too.
Account, I think.
Now that I'm looking at it, there might be some questionable flags there, too. But if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
They were the Rebels, or they are the Rebels.
you can see all of this. But
anyway,
he also led all tackles in the NFL in penalties last year with 19.
He is a penalty machine, yep.
They play 17 games. What did maybe the Texans played 19 with their playoff matchups?
It's a flag game.
That's a high number of penalties. Phil says that's not to say the Patriots didn't consider trying to swing a trade for him. They did. They understand as well as anyone that they need help at left tackle. Tunsil ultimately would have represented a significant upgrade at the position that would have dramatically improved their on-field product. But the Patriots, unlike the Commanders, it could be argued, are not a player away from championship contention. So he says they did try to get him, but he's also a problem in the room.
They didn't try hard enough.
So I don't get it. I don't get that. Is he a problem in the room or is he not? Do you want him or do you not? I don't get this half-in thing where you're like, well, we'll give him a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, you wanted him at the right cost.
But why? Is he a problem or is he not? Is he a fit or is he not? If he's a fit, you want him. If he's not, you don't, right? I mean, that's what we're led to believe.
Yeah, no, I think...
So stories like this to me are confusing, and yes. I think the Patriots are attempting to defend why they're losing out on all these players, and I don't like it.
Well, you can't have it both ways. And all the guys that are moving teams, like, nobody's perfect, which is why the team is either giving up on them or willing to trade them or whatever else. So, yeah, after the fact, it's easy to be like, wow, you know, Deebo Samuel might be washed. It's like, yeah, he might be.
Yeah,
or he might be great.
He's fat, by the way.
You see him, how big he is?
Fat and washed.
Like, DK Metcalf wouldn't have wanted to come here. It's like, well, did you even try? Like, did you get in there at all?
So,
because I think that's right now been their biggest issue is offensively – they talk about wanting to add talent so they can go out and play a game, and they need to be able to pivot, right? Like, you have option A, B, C, and D. So if it was Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin, we both love that. That's a great plan. You didn't get those guys. All right. The offseason's not over. Like, you got to go somewhere else. And you can't tell me it's Mack Hollins and Morgan Moses. Like, those are, like, backup later. Like, that's, like, plan whatever. Right. Like, you just have that. That's roster filler. Like, you need starting left tackle, and you need a starting number one wide receiver.
Cam Robinson, Cooper Kupp. That approximates that. Kupp might not be a number one.
As I said, that is a bit of a drop-off from that, but still, it's better than what you have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that approximates it. And I would give Vrabel this. He said they were going to sign players in free agency and let the draft come to them. If you sign Robinson and Kupp, then I think you did that. I think you signed guys in free agency, maybe not quite what we wanted, but you did more on defense than I expected. So at the end, that all nets out. You got yourself a left tackle, not a good one, but a real NFL left tackle. You already got yourself a right tackle. In the case of signing Kupp, you would have a wide receiver. And on top of that, Mack Hollins is a three or a four, but that's another receiver. Okay, let the draft come to you. You still need to do this other work. And I don't get it. Are you in on players or out on players based on their personality and their football character and the culture and the chemistry? It sounds like they were half in on Tunsil. And then they say we were in, but he's a question mark, and maybe he's a problem, and his motor runs hot
it's
and
tough.
Cold.
You can't have all great guys.
And that's not a fit for us, unless it's a fit at the right cost. So again, which one is it?
Yeah.
And is this just justifying missing out on players? Well, that guy's not a fit. And this guy would be a fit, but at the right price, and we weren't going to pay that. And is that just a justification for missing out on the real talented players? I wasn't super gung-ho on Tunsil. Yeah. I think he's overrated. I've always thought he's overrated. I think the league probably views him as a little overrated based on the return. So I'm not crying about that one. I wanted Ronnie Stanley way more, and I think there's a massive gap between those two. But don't tell me you want a player.
Right.
He's a problem in the room.
It's like smear campaign after a guy left, and it's like, well, did you want him? I'm not going to
keep giving you the thumbs up on missing out on all these players. And they continue to miss out on players on offense, where right now, I think you've subtracted more on offense than you've added.
Yeah, you gave up your starting center. I know you missed most of last season, but you gave up your starting center, and you have added maybe a right tackle, but maybe also more of like a backup tackle and like a third wide receiver.
Right. That's
what you've added on offense.
And a backup quarterback.
So I like what they've done on defense, but they are still, their two biggest needs going into the offseason remain their two biggest needs right now.
617-779-7937. Text line says this actually sounds vaguely familiar. His stepdad leaked that story?
So I was just digging this up. I think that might be true.
About Laramie Tunsil with the gas mask. He leaked that photo right before the draft.
When he was at Ole Miss, he was arrested on domestic violence charges with an altercation with his stepfather. And there was a whole thing. No, it was a stepfather
got
thing.
Got it.
And there's different reports as to why they got into a thing. And then that was before the season began at Ole Miss. He got suspended for a time at Ole Miss. And then right before the draft, I guess now the story is that his stepfather, who knows, getting back at him for that or something else, released the
to get him a drop in the NFL draft.
Great. Thanks. Very helpful.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Still 113. But yeah, there was rumors he was going to be top number one pick, right? Like, wasn't it like that high?
Certainly the first tackle off the board, yeah. And even if he remained the first tackle off the board, I think he was projected to go higher in that draft for sure.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
The New England Patriots have released 9-year veteran center David Andrews, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. By the way, during the break in the kitchen, I ran into Sales Smoke, who,
hi guys.
Who came in. Good morning.
Morning.
You are obsessed with the icks and the ick bracket. So you have icks that we didn't mention yesterday?
I have some icks for sure, but okay. Non-negotiable. I mean, they're not non-negotiables. They're just funny to talk about, but okay. There are a few that are pretty bad.
Okay. Well, what do we miss? Because we're trying to fill the bracket out in time for Monday.
Okay. Well, I'd say my number one is when guys sit crisscross applesauce.
Uh-oh. Curtis.
On the floor or on a couch. Curtis, it's just...
Crisscross applesauce means your legs are... That's not how I sit, Greg. That's legs crossed.
That's like around the fireplace.
Okay. Well, what is crisscross applesauce?
Where both of your legs are crossed.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, that is an egg. That's an
on your butt
egg.
And right. It's crisscross. Yeah.
Yeah, that don't
like
work.
In kindergarten.
Like, we're not singing kumbaya.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, what else you got?
All right, when guys try too hard at bowling and the foot leaves the ground on the ball release.
Wow.
Some of these are so obscure. That's the best part of it, Curtis. It's like,
that is Ken's entire life.
Does Ken bring his own ball to bowling leagues?
Yeah, he probably has his own balls, 100%. And a
poor guys out there.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
Small hands. Come on, man.
I'm right here.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's
sorry.
Fine. I mean, that's...
You have a great personality, though. You make up for it.
I'm fat, too. Thanks.
I'm with you, right. Greg. I got small hands, too, so I hear you.
Oh, man.
All right. What else you got, Sales Smoke?
All right. Well, this one's pretty bad, and this makes me look bad, so I'll take all the chirps. But I was dating this guy, and I was on the phone with him, and all of a sudden, he got rear-ended in traffic. And it just gave me the ick. He's like, I just got rear-ended. And I was like, oh, ew.
Why? Because you're like, ew.
Yeah.
What? Because he's a bad driver?
So let's just chalk it up to bad drivers. But it wasn't his fault. Like, he just got rear-ended. And yeah, life-threatening events, I guess.
Just keep it to himself next time.
Yeah, just don't tell me, even if I'm on the phone with you and I hear it.
Right.
Anything else?
Oh, I have a few more. If you want me to keep going.
Any first date icks?
Oh, yep.
Or dating if...
Dating ex. If you show up to a date drunk, you are...
Does that happen a lot?
I mean, having a couple drinks before the date is fine. Kill the nerves a little bit. I do it. I have a couple glasses of wine. But I can hold my booze. So, you know, if you show up hammered on a date, I don't like that.
Well, like tipsy or something like that?
Yeah.
That's
no, tipsy is a little fine, I'd say.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
Like, I'm talking, can't hold a conversation.
Okay.
Drunk.
All right.
Do guys actually show up slurred out of their mind? Like, hey, so what's your name again, Krista?
I'm sure it happens. I'm sure it happens.
And then I'd say the one to top off my list, and this is just, this needs jail time. If you wear skinny jeans, but also skinny jeans with rips in them, jail time.
Okay. We have the term, skinny jeans are out.
I told you, man, stay away from the skinny jeans.
That's been mentioned.
No.
10 people have said that's an
hour. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah,
I had to clean out one of my ex's closets before. I'm like, we're going to Zara right away. Yeah.
Unless you're like 17 and a junior in high school, do not wear skinny jeans.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Sales smoke. Thank you. By the way, if you want to advertise on this radio station, digitally, audio-wise, whatever, Sales Smoke is your girl.
Absolutely.
So how do they get a hold of you?
So you can look me up on LinkedIn. It's Krista and Lucchetti, L-U-C-H-E-T-T-E.
Okay.
Send me a message.
All right. All right, Krista. Thank you.
Perfect.
All right.
Good job.
Thanks, guys.
I'll promote anything.
Ick bracket in place by Monday morning, Curtis, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Women are vicious.
And that is a bad sign. If you show a bomb to a date, then what are you going to talk about?
I didn't know even the dudes did that. That's a shocker to me.
Well, it could be the nerves. Like, it could be somebody who's nervous and they're having a couple drinks to try to calm their nerves or whatever.
Yeah, but then they show up smashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I think it's more of one, if you can't hold your booze as a guy and you're going on a date, then it's like, where are we going to even take this to? Are you going to remember any of this? So I agree with that. But I think it's going to be the best bracket yet, Monday morning, the ick bracket.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel bad for dudes, man. The poor guy got rear-ended, and it's like, don't say anything.
That's a weird one.
Like, it's like, what's that giant bang in the background? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm headed to the hospital, but don't ask why.
All right. We're 1 week from tomorrow, last and final snow show of snow show season. We will be at Wachusett Mountain, and we're heading out there the night before for pregame. At the Copper Top Lounge, and we would love to see you on next Thursday night, and then we'd love to see you Friday morning. And if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, I have a couple lift tickets for you so you can get in a couple final runs of this ski season or this board season with us at Wachusett Mountain a week from Friday for the snow show. So call right now and we'll set you up, and you and whoever you want to bring can ski and board all Friday after our second and final snow show of the snow show season. And then I think Courtney wants us to launch the road show schedule on April 1st. So road shows basically throughout May and June, and one that will end the roadshow season in July, believe it or not.
Biggest roadshow season yet?
I think so, yes, Curtis. And new states, I think a new state on the list. Different cities in states that we've been to. Ken Laird, the travel agent, has put a lot of work into the roadshows. And so I can't wait.
Can I ask you a question, Greg? You're a big team guy. Your foundation's awesome. You build up the next gen. You're always thinking about how people can help you, help others and network and all that.
Yes.
Give me one reason why you wouldn't, if you're Mike Vrabel, you don't want David Andrews on this team.
I guess it must be the fact that he is aging and has been unavailable at times over the last 3 seasons. But I will say...
It's just really been last year, because the year before that he played 17 games.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, so
So it was really last year. Yeah. I would say it to Mike Vrabel's face. I think it's a mistake.
Right.
Like,
Unless he's got something that's coming, like, that's what I was saying. Unless he's got some shoe to drop when it comes to with a free agent center that they're looking at and they're coveting, somebody that might be available, I'd have to see who's out there. Unless they got that, I mean, you're not going to draft a center at number 4. So it's either you got somebody that you're eyeing in free agency, or you are really thinking about playing Cole Strange there.
I mean, so the only player left that won a championship would be the long snapper now, I would guess, right?
Joe Cardona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Because Slater's gone, Andrews is gone, and Cardona. I think those were the 3 remaining. So the entire championship era is gone, Gonzo.
I mean, is it possible that he told them he's retiring?
Then why would you announce it this way?
No, because he said he wanted to play. Remember he told us that he's going to come back and play?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had always talked about he's going to play again. That was the reason and why he went and had surgery.
This is Coach from New Hampshire. Hey, Coach.
Hey, great show as always, Greg. I was ecstatic Monday that the Patriots signed five brand new starters, basically, with the right tackle and the four guys on defense. But everything's been tempered now because not just the loss of David Andrews, but I'm going to throw in Dietrich Wise, one of the best off-field guys the team has ever had, real quality. So I'm upset with a lack of perceived leadership moving forward. Anyone better than David Andrews as a stand-up guy? Maybe he was a little long in the tooth injury-wise, but yeah, I just think that I don't know who's going to – maybe you guys can tell me who might emerge as the new leaders. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. I mean, 1 week in Boston and two franchises say goodbye to a captain.
Yeah. Well, in the new leaders, he asked the question about emerging as the new leaders. Isn't it kind of playing itself out? It looks like it's all the new guys. So it looks like it's going to be Harold Landry, who played with Vrabel when he was in Tennessee. It looks like it's going to be Williams. It looks like it's going to be Davis. It looks like it's going to be a lot of the new guys that they sign to kind of say, okay, here's the culture that we are creating here. We are now the new leaders. And, you know, obviously Drake May in his second year is going to take on some of the leadership stuff. But it seems like overall it's going to be all those veterans that they sign on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, nope. It's not like he's some all-pro player, but the people that say he's washed, I mean, nobody, if he was on the team entering camp, would have said that David Andrews is a potential casualty at the cutdown date. Like, stop it.
No, I mean,
nobody would have predicted that he wouldn't make the team.
When you say all-pro, he's exactly what you want in a center, which is extremely dependable and a leader.
Right.
Like,
see, I think the issue is like, I think a lot of people have an issue is because there's really been no clear-cut backup. Because if you look at last year, I mean, it was really a revolving door. It was the kid.
But does this mean Ben Brown is now your full-time center?
Well, that's what I mean. It was Brown, but didn't they play we brought up Cole Strange. So
I think it was just in the final game or final two games of the season.
All right. So then maybe they like something that they saw from Ben Brown.
In the Twitch chat, a suggestion that Wiggy has nailed it, and it is a culture change thing that they want to happen in New
yeah,
England?
Like, it's a new culture. It's a new day. And Vrabel's culture is different than the culture that Andrews is from. I mean, I would disagree with that because I know Vrabel and I know the culture he came from, which is kind of like the Belichick culture, which Andrews is a guy that I think could fit in any culture. But, you know, when you start to look at who are going to be those leaders in that locker room, it seems like it's going to be a lot of those new guys that they brought in.
And I'm looking at PFF stats on David Andrews when he's been healthy. He's a top 10 center, top 5 run-blocking center. Like, I don't know what people are talking about.
978 texter Curtis reminding us that Juwan Bentley won a Super Bowl. Is that right? Is that accurate?
Okay.
No, he didn't. I don't think he was on the field.
He wasn't?
Let me check.
I don't know, like, but I think you got guys like coming back, like that could still create part of that culture. You obviously brought up Juwan Bentley, Christian Gonzalez, who's, you know, going to take that next step. It's just Kyle Duggar. I think it's just offensively, what? Your issue is O-line and wide receiver, and it seems like you're getting rid of offensive linemen and you're not doing that at wide receiver.
It screams, if you're going to try and make Cole Strange work, we have bigger issues here. Because that means Elliott Wolf still has a say, and they're trying to justify draft picks again. And that's like, you recognize when something doesn't work and move on. You traded out of Trent McDuffie's pick and drafted Cole Strange instead, and you could just have a second awesome corner right now. And so, like, it's kind of infuriating to think that they're moving on from this guy just because, like, oh yeah, we're going to try and make Cole Strange work again, guys.
No, but
I also want to say this, guys. Like, so let's say that the chances they get somebody at center will be a slight upgrade, which that's a potential. I'm not saying David Andrews is one of the best in the league. You have so many issues that are so more glaring and necessary to be fixed before you get to center. Why at this time when we're supposed to be fixing problems,
right,
are we creating more holes?
Meaning like left tackle and wide receiver, right?
Right.
And yeah.
But
in some order thereof.
Right.
But if Shime's right, maybe their vision is that they saw, they thought that Ben Brown did a good job for them. Maybe.
Hopefully it's Ben Brown and not Cole Strange.
He's younger than him, so maybe they're like, okay, he did a good enough job for us.
It's going to cost less.
It's going to cost less.
Yeah. All right. Well, Patriots parting ways with David Andrews.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're ready for the Patriots excuse train, Keith?
Oh, of course I'm ready for the excuse train.
Choo-choo!
Here it comes. Now, they have signed some dudes, though. Let's be fair.
Yeah,
They've signed some dudes on defense.
We spent 2 days giving them credit for all the guys they signed on defense.
And now you want to rip them for the guys they did not
sign?
Well,
I get it.
That's fine.
I don't want to sit here and hear about all the money they threw at Godwin and all the money they threw at Stanley and all the offensive players who have said no. And boy, they're just offering so much money. And then I get to see the Milton Williams contract yesterday, all the details in the Milton Williams contract. And it's like, oh, they're actually not offering anywhere near as much as they claim to offer. Now, on Williams,
they got him, though.
On Williams, had the best. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
They got Big Milt.
They had the best offer because they got the player.
Hoss of the week. They got him. They locked him in.
Yeah. Is Zadorov closing in?
Zadorov made a real run at it, which we'll get to later.
We're going to get to the Bruins later
on. The red hot Bruins. What got into them? They're the best team in the league right now.
You start calling a guy a big, giant oaf, and all of a sudden.
Nope. He's possibly
you're going to eat your words.
Just punch guys right in the snout.
So we'll get to the Bruins coming up on the show. No, it's like they got Milton Williams. So that was probably the best offer out there. But it turns out it certainly wasn't $104 million they're giving the guy. And something tells me all these offers, all due respect to Burt Breer and what he's hearing about Chris Godwin and Bill Barnwell and all these other guys writing about what they offered. My guess is when you got into the details, the offers probably weren't that great, which is why you have nobody on offense.
Yeah, no, that's definitely possible. Or if you really just put all your eggs into those baskets. Let's say those were real offers. Hypothetically, you might be right. Maybe they were kind of like weird, kind of where's the real money, where's the guarantees. But let's say they went on all in on Ronnie Stanley, who is on a much better team and is very comfortable in Baltimore. You have Chris Godwin. He's only played for the Tampa Bay Bucs, won a Super Bowl there with the Bucs, has, you know, was good before Brady, with Brady, after Brady, and they changed their deadlines around. It looked like he wanted to stay. And so if those are the two guys you're going after, what about Plan B or pivoting and all that stuff? Like, Plan B can't be Mac Hollins and Morgan Moses. Like,
I don't know.
That's way down the list.
Yeah, that's Plan Z.
So if you're going to be all in on those guys, fine. But I don't think they were really the favorite to land those guys. Those weren't like obvious, oh, they're moving. Like there are certain players that, you know, they make it very clear that they're not going to re-sign with their team and whatever and blah, blah. There really wasn't an indication that those guys were really going to hit the open market. And so if you were all in on them, great. I hope you did offer them, you know, a really aggressive offer, but you got to find somebody else.
So I have two questions with where the Patriots are at in free agency. It officially starts, by the way, about 6 hours from now, 4 o'clock. We're still in legal tampering, although it's really quieted down after the first day. You think too quiet?
I think maybe too quiet. There could be some big old splashes.
Well,
the list of available guys. No, if there's going to be quote unquote big splashes, it's going to be more like trade talk because the actual players who are available right now, what do we got?
Oh,
not much.
I mean, Cam Robinson and Amari Cooper?
Yeah. I was going to say, even some of the veteran receivers are starting to sign. So it's like there's really not a whole lot out there.
Hopkins signed last night.
Yeah.
I didn't really want it. Westbrook Akine is a guy who had connections to Vrabel, who signed with the Dolphins
touchdown
last
machine,
night.
Though, last year.
Touchdown machine.
Yep.
Not when we needed him in the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Kind of porked us.
But he was a touchdown machine last year. So, look, any news breaks, we'll react to it here on Jones and Keefe all day long. 617-779-7937. That is your phone and text line. I think we're still getting a number of icks being texted in.
The ick bracket.
For the Greg Hill Show bracket. I still see them on the text line. Yeah.
I was listening very closely, trying to see like how many of those I qualify for, and it's a couple, but like less than I would have imagined. Not that I'm this great catch or anything, Jones, but I was going through them and they were naming stuff. I'm like, no, I don't do that. Like, I don't wear sandals ever.
I wear sandals all the time.
I know you do.
Ick. With jeans.
Ick in your face. Yeah, that's two icks.
But that was also wiggy. That was a wiggy ick, which I was like, but does that even count?
No, I thought it was Greg's girlfriend saying, because
oh,
he
yeah,
wears.
No, that's true. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So it wasn't just Wiggy.
Wiggy was backing that up.
Yeah, Wiggy.
Very vocal anti-sandals, but you're right. That started with.
Wiggy did have a few that I'm not sure qualified as X, but they're like, all right, fine. We need 64 of these. Go ahead. Throw it on the pile. Well, that's great.
My favorite was the ones that are like very mean, but they're funny. Like
the EpiPen one?
Like an adult who carries an EpiPen?
That was aggressive. So if you missed it, Greg Hill.
Shame on you for not wanting to die.
Courtney. They're doing an ick bracket.
Yeah,
64 icks. And one of them is grown men who, I don't know, have like a survival, like a lifeline. Like they could die if they eat a peanut butter sandwich. And they're like, I don't know. They have one instrument that could save their lives.
Yeah, women like men who live dangerously is what they like. They like a bad boy.
Bad boys wouldn't have an EpiPen.
Yeah, no. Bad boy just goes down with their peanut allergy.
That's it.
Yeah. They go out doing what they love.
I know there's something really easily that could save my life right now. And God forbid I
don't
put it in my pocket.
Yeah. No, you have to hope somebody else has one. Or you have to be resuscitated. Although that's probably an ick.
No, most of them, I don't think
that's probably an ick. Man who needs ambulance, ick.
Heaven perform mouth to mouth, ick.
Ick. It's like he could save his life. Ew, but gross.
No, I like all the really mean ones. Like Courtney was like cackling at one where they got an adult wearing a wrist brace.
Oh, yeah. Like if they like hurt themselves.
I like that. Like, that's an ick.
Yeah. A guy with a cast. You're like, what if you broke a bone?
Bowling.
What if you broke a bone? Heal yourself.
Drink more milk.
Yeah.
Some dirt on.
No, that was a ick. That was actually an ick. Yeah. That was a great
drinking
one.
Milk.
No, an adult male drinking milk is a great ick.
Remember when you were like, when was the last time you had...
He needs some milk.
You go, when was the last time you had chocolate milk? And I was like, last week. And Nick was like, last night.
That's an ick, because you're like a grown child.
Does chocolate milk count?
Yes.
Or just regular
milk? Does chocolate milk count as milk?
I feel like
I think regular milk's worse.
Regular milk might be more of an ick, because that's like Homelander from The Boys. There's like sort of like a fetish thing happening there. But like chocolate milk's kind of like a nice little treat. I don't know why that would be an ick.
Because you're acting like a 6-year-old.
That's chocolate milk.
God forbid you strengthen your bones.
Yeah, right.
I think I'll walk
and
around.
Have it taste good at the same time.
Sorry, you're pro osteoporosis.
You don't have like an ice cream? Is having an ice cream a ick? That's like a little treat.
It could be like a full on like ice cream sundae. That's, like you're 5, maybe.
Not an ice cream sundae. It's like an ice cream. You think having ice cream is an ick?
An ice cream sundae.
You don't qualify.
An ice cream sundae, maybe.
Well, maybe a banana split.
Exactly.
Depends on the ice cream. Split.
If you have like a scoop and a cone, that's not a ick.
Like a big, like in a little baseball helmet. I flip a little baseball helmet, I dump a bunch of ice cream in there, and I'm eating. Is that a ick?
I think the cone would be the ick in that. I think if you just do a normal sundae, it's better.
What about drinking out of a straw?
Paper straw's an ick.
Paper straw, ick.
Not today.
Metal straw, ick.
What do you mean not today?
Trump got rid of the paper straws.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Yeah, but that's because they were an ick.
He won on that platform.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm getting rid of the paper straws. And everyone's like, yeah.
They're out because they're an ick.
Yeah, no, I'm with that.
Yeah.
They're gross. But yeah, no, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, let's outlaw all the icks.
So this is what we'll do. Once they get their whole bracket out, we'll grab a time and we'll just rip through them and see how many we do. Yeah.
Great.
One of them was backwards hat, which I do, and I'm old, so that's fine.
Yeah.
So that's one.
You're guilty of that. I've done it once in a while.
I'm 100% guilty of that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of the other one. The other ones, I was kind of dodging bullets here. I was like, oh, interesting. I don't have an EpiPen.
So the full bracket's not out yet.
I don't think so. I think they were like discussing it live on the air today. They came up with a bunch of them. So once the bracket's out, we'll have to go through and see how many each one of us.
I like that. It's a good idea. That's a great idea. Okay.
54 of 64.
Yeah. I'm the ultimate ick.
So the text line is just chock full of icks. 617-779-7937 on Twitter and Instagram.
I was getting chocolate milk when they said that. Okay. He's just sitting there like, they're talking about me.
Come on.
Just down as Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
Well, there was definitely people listening to that segment that were like wearing flip-flops with a backwards hat, sunglasses on the back of their head.
Frothy glass of milk.
Big milk.
Yeah.
Sprained wrist.
Grunting at the gym. So, no, that's good. We should find out how many of those we do. I definitely don't grunt at the gym.
I don't go to the gym.
Yeah, you have to go to the gym to grunt.
So there's that.
So check mark for Jones. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can vote in our March our March Madness uniform bracket in full swing at Jones and Keefe. We're already almost done the first round. We'll be done with it by the end of the week. You can watch twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and chat. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. So I have two questions about the Patriots. Are they actually offering the most money to these players on offense? And if they are, why are they saying no? Why aren't the offensive players, save for Mac Hollins, Morgan Moses, Josh Dobbs, like lower tier guys, why aren't the big fish, the big targets on offense signing here? And my guess is it has something to do with the actual offers. I don't think they're offering the most money to Godwin and Stanley and players like that. Otherwise, they'd be here.
Well, I wonder with Chris Godwin. So let's take him specifically to start. Does Chris Godwin's money from the Bucks versus his money from the Patriots at the end of the day after taxes, not to play the Taxachusetts line from Belichick, but like how close is the offer really when it's all said and done?
What's your take home?
Yeah, what's the take home?
That's all I care about. I don't care about what the salary number is on the contract. I want to know what's my take home. Where am I making more money?
But would Godwin perhaps be a guy that would take a little bit less? Right, like a lot of the reporting out there is, you know, he took less to stay in Tampa Bay, and that's what it would be, a place where he's comfortable. Probably a not that Tampa Bay is this amazing place, but just it's warm weather, right? A lot of players say that, like DK Metcalf. They don't always mean it. But Godwin's never played for another team. This team is also, you know, probably a playoff team once again. They got a top 10, top 8, top 7, top 6 quarterback in the league in Baker Mayfield. So it's a better offense. You know, maybe his family doesn't want to move there. So, like, I could see Chris Godwin just staying there and maybe using the Patriots to help him with some leverage. And maybe he didn't get every penny available to him, but he's like, why would I go to New England? They have nothing on offense. They got a quarterback who could be good, but he's played 12 games. I think it's much more appealing for him to stay in Tampa Bay.
So I do wonder about the May factor, and we've talked kind of around that. Is Drake May just not quite the draw we think he is? Like, are players not lining up to play with him compared to guys like Baker Mayfield and other quarterbacks around the league?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he stinks. That doesn't mean, you know, he can't be one of those quarterbacks. Maybe he's just not the draw we want him to be
yet. It's hard to tell because right now on offense, they brought in Mac Hollins and Morgan Moses. So if guys, you could throw Drake May in there. You could throw Josh McDaniels in there. You could just the state of the Patriots right now. I'd be like,
maybe players on defense are cool playing for Vrabel, but maybe offensive guys don't want to play for Vrabel.
Yeah. That's
possible.
That's
that
what it kind of looks like. And then, you know, then you take Ronnie Stanley, and that's another one where I it drives me nuts, and it's not going to change. But just the football money is so stupid because in other sports, like the Red Sox, when the Red Sox were the interest kings, and they would offer $80 million, and another team would offer $90 million, we weren't like, yeah, but when's the void year, and like how many is that guaranteed, and is it front loaded? And this, and you're like, no, that's $80 million versus $90 million. What's more money? And in football, it's really kind of hard to tell because they could say what the average annual is. The same thing we talked about with Brandon Ayuk. You're like, well, what's the real number here from last year?
So,
but also Stanley, like Godwin, a guy who's played his entire career in one spot, and some of those guys like Brad Marchand want to stay if the offer is competitive enough.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when the leader's bad, you got to kick him out of the room.
True.
Is what you got to do. Yeah. You don't have to do that with Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin.
Nope.
Maybe the Bruins had to do that. Again, we'll get to them coming up in a little bit. But Florio does a good job digging in on all these contracts. Like, you see a lot of nonsense on Twitter, and he does a good, once the contracts are signed and sent into the league and you have all the details in the contract, Florio does a really good job picking through them. And he says the Milton Williams contract, which to me is kind of the alarm bell when it comes to these quote unquote giant offers to Godwin, close to $30 million a year, the most money for Ayuk a year ago, their Ridley contract, which they felt was the best offer. It wasn't.
It's not about finance.
And Ronnie Stanley, like, just to pick a few. And when you're sitting here, who knows if they get Cooper Kupp or anybody like that once he gets to market, are they going to have the best offer for that player? Well, just know this is how they structured the deal to Milton Williams. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe it was the best offer. It was better than Carolina's.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, I would say, moving parts in these contracts and some bells and whistles that players may not like. So, for instance, with Milton Williams, it was reported as a four-year, $104 million deal, writes Florio.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots can hold Williams to that. As a practical matter, however, the Patriots are bound to the contract for 2 years. He says it works out to a full guarantee at signing of $51 million. Not $104 million.
No, half.
$51 million. With another $12 million in 2027 injury guarantee that flips the full guarantee in 2027. The amount, or that amounts rather, to a two-year commitment by the Patriots with $51 million plus another $3.4 million in per-game roster bonuses and $600,000 in workout bonuses. He can make up to $55 million through 2026 if he plays in every game and if he hits his workout bonuses. So those are up to him. And just think about a guy like Cooper Kupp or Chris Godwin or Ronnie Stanley, all of whom have been injury-prone, dealt with injuries. Are they going to want to put all these per-game incentives into their contract, or are they going to take a more real offer elsewhere? Like, my guess is they were offering Godwin up to $30 million, but there were a lot of per-game bonuses in there, if I had to guess. And they can say it was $30 million a year, but what was it really? Mm-hmm. Milton Williams' contract is not really $104 million. It's a lot of per-game roster, incentives, rather.
But with that guy in particular, to your point, like, the Panthers probably offered something similar or worse. Like, they got him. So, no, I'm not going to beat him up for that.
No, I'm just telling you this is how they structured deals. Yeah. I believe they had the best offer for Milton Williams. That's why he's here.
They got him. It's same with Carlton Davis.
But maybe it wasn't the best offer for Godwin, is my point. They might have been, they're spinning the AAV number, but what were the actual details? After that, meaning 2 years, the Patriots have the option to continue the deal for 2027 and again in 2028. In reality, it's a two-year deal with a pair of one-year team options, which is great for the team, but not so great for the player. It's also a prime example, writes Florio, of how the listed and reported APY, AAV, can be misleading. Williams' $26 million per year is more like $23.5 million per year, since the other $2.4 million per year on average comes down to a total of $10 million in workout and per-game roster bonuses. So why aren't they getting some of these offensive players? And how are they going to structure a deal to someone like Cooper Kupp? I think those details are really important. I think that's a big factor on why they're missing out on the offensive players to this point.
Could be the big the three M's on offense. Money, McDaniels, May. Maybe in some order, guys look at that
money,
and say...
Money, May, McDaniels.
I would say money.
Order.
Out of those three, money would have to be the most important. And even if a guy was going to take a hometown discount in the case of Stanley and Godwin, if you want to spin it that way... then, all right, you need to go way overboard then. You need to pay even way more than they would be willing to do. But then after that, you say, do I want to leave with Baltimore? Probably a Super Bowl contender. Tampa Bay, definitely a playoff team. I don't know if they're necessarily a Super Bowl contender, but they've made some moves this offseason. And it's just guys that have never left. They've never gone anywhere else. And they got good deals, right? Like, they're still making north of $20 million or maybe exactly $20 million going forward. So they probably got what they wanted. Maybe they left a couple of pennies on the table, but the Patriots situation is not desirable enough. They're not going to get, there's definitely some of that players aren't going to want to play here. Like, the NFLPA thing doesn't help, that whole survey. And I think this side of the ball is going to be a lot harder to recruit guys. You know, defensively, it looks like they're getting some guys. And maybe it's Vrabel, maybe it's Terrell Williams, and money, right? Carlton Davis might not have gotten $20 million somewhere else. Milton Williams might not have gotten this exact amount somewhere else. So they did at least pay those guys, and they got them. But now they got to figure out something on offense.
So I like what they've done to this point in free agency. We've credited them for two straight days. Free agency officially gets underway today at 4 o'clock. Maybe Cooper Kupp gets released. They can pounce there. They're not done. I understand that. Why haven't they landed any of the big fish offensively to this point?
That was Ja'Marr Chase, the best wide receiver in football, talking about new Patriots defensive back Carlton Davis, who he believes is the best defensive back he has faced. And now he gets to play alongside Christian Gonzalez here in New England. That was an interview with another tie to the defensive backfield in New England, Devin McCourty, on Sunday Night Football. If you're a Patriots fan and you hear that and you say, wait, Ja'Marr Chase thinks Carlton Davis is the best defensive back he went against and he's now your number two cornerback, that's a reason to get excited about the defense. That's a reason to get excited about the first day of free agency. And that's what we're reacting here on WEEI Afternoons. Fitzy, I did the poll on Twitter today, which Twitter seems to be working just fine. They were hacked yesterday, according to Elon Musk. It was a very serious attack. They get hacked every day, but yesterday was a really serious one. Stiz, do you have any comment on that?
No, it's a fine social media platform.
I would tell Elon we make plays, not excuses. You should be prepared for every hacking, especially on the first freaking day of NFL free agency when we need our Schefters and our crap sheets and all the information flowing. Anyway,
he's probably very busy over at the Department of Getting Employed.
Oh, boy. We're going to do that. New acronyms for the old Dodgers.
A new one every day. That's a guarantee.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. Hold you to that. Let's see where Fitzy runs out of gas. I want a new Doge acronym every day, what it stands for, and we'll see when he peters out, when he runs out of gas.
Spoiler alert, tomorrow, Department of Giant Erections.
Oh, we can't do that.
Yes, we can. It's buildings. He's in charge of construction.
Statues, stuff like that.
Yeah, and also, don't waste two in one day. I want this. I want to see how far this can go. But on Twitter today, I put up a simple poll at Jumbo Heart or at WEEI Afternoons. At WEEI Afternoons. We'd love a follow. We're trying to grow the old show account. Little more than a day into the action. How would you grade the Patriots' start to free agency and the offseason? Very simple choices, A, B, C, or D. They only give me four, and I didn't allow F to be an option because if you were going to give an F, then F you. We don't want your vote in this stupid poll anyway.
Man, boy, an aggressive stance from Mr. Goodmood over here. Can I guess what's in the lead?
Sure. And it's really close to being nice.
I'm going to go B.
B, 68% have voted so far. So close to a nice number. 68%, give it a B. Second place, Fitzy. You want to guess that? That's a little more difficult. What would you say the second most popular selection was?
There's just enough people that are still mad about or want a left tackle and a wide receiver one enough. The early clappers, clapbackers, and nasty tweeters. So I'm going to say C is squeaking it out over A.
Your instincts are terrible. There are apparently just enough homers left to say, you ignored tackle, you ignored wide receiver, I don't care. 19% are voting A right now. The old Harvard A, they call it, right? Once you get in, you just get the A anyway. C is in third place with 11%, and then only 2% for D. There's very little negativity in response and reaction to yesterday's free agent signings.
Okay, so I'm over on your X page, x.com/JumboHeart.
Yeah.
And right beneath the poll, which I have shared with the masses, or amplified, as the tweeters like to say, I see two other tweets that you commented on yesterday. I think I commented on them similar. I commented on one of them as well. This was the most predictable thing in the universe. You putting eyeball emojis or something positive in front of the Adam Schefter tweet for Kyle Juszczyk being available, released freely, no less, the Harvard, speaking of Harvard. And then, of course, you have the photo of Mac Hollins absolutely just shredded walking in a Hawaiian and just short swimming trunks into a Bills game. You say the circus is coming to town and yet another wide receiver three. That's fine. I have a different feeling. We'll get into that later. Can I tell you right now, the one thing that would probably, even if you couldn't get the left tackle you want and you couldn't get the wide receiver one of the future, if you bring in Kyle Juszczyk, anyone that says B needs to start B plus in that action or maybe even A minusing it, because he is one of my absolute favorite football players of the last decade that has never put on a Patriots uniform yet.
And in all seriousness, they're bringing back the fullback. All reports indicate that Josh McDaniels plans on bringing back the fullback. So whether that's Juszczyk, whether that's Patrick Ricard, who's also apparently a free agent, or a developmental type like they did with Devlin, And guys in the past.
And what about, who was our old German friend who then
Jakob.
Went out to play? Yeah, Jakob Johnson.
Yeah. Or even a Landon Roberts, the linebacker turned part-time.
Eat, sleep, run through a mother blanker's face.
Absolutely, but they're bringing the fullback back, and that is why. See, people think they're excited about Carlton Davis or Robert Spillane or Milton Williams.
Juszczyk.
The real reason you should be excited is they're bringing fullback to New England, and when you had a fullback, you were a good team. It's a fact. It's just check it. Oof. James Devlin, you followed him to victory. Very simple. He made Sony Michel great. 617-779-7937. Continuing to build on and react to the Patriots' offseason moves. And what do you want to see them do moving forward? What would their grade be right now? And let's just say, Fitzy, they go out and got Cam Robinson and Cooper Kupp. What would their grade look like then after filling off those moves on the offensive side of the ball?
I have previously said I would prefer the drummer to Def Leppard at left tackle over Cam Robinson.
Wow. He's one-armed, right?
Yes.
I figured that was the joke.
Good way. Well sussed out. That said, if it was not an absurd amount of guaranteed money plus Cooper Kupp, I mean, for Cooper Kupp alone, I would give them an A, and then I would say Cam Robinson is your breakfast ball. Because if he comes in and sucks, that's right, he sucks, then okay, whatever, fine. You bench him and you eat the money because you're eating an awful lot of money this year, starting from when you fired Gerard Mayo an hour and 10 minutes after the stupid win against Buffalo. But if he's any good, and maybe Doug Marrone is the Cam Robinson whisperer, then it's a zero loss proposition to me. So Cooper Kupp alone would boost it to an A. Juszczyk, A+. Cam Robinson wouldn't even affect me.
Let's kick off our phone calls today by going down my way, South Coast, the best place in the world, Dartmouth. Danny in Dartmouth, what are your thoughts on what the Patriots are doing in free agency?
What's up, boys? I promise I won't swear today.
Don't good, make I'm promises good. You can't keep.
No, I'm going to keep it this time, I promise. Okay. No, I just, I do like what they've been doing, especially that big D tackle, but he had Jalen Carter next to him, so we're going to see what he can do. But nobody's talking about somebody I think that could if we get Cooper Kupp, it might change it. But I'm telling you, after watching the playoffs last year, this kid Hollins, if he's like Drake May's, that's all Drake May can throw to, this kid is going to have a year. He's 6'4", 220, can catch everything. Look at all the bullets Josh Allen threw him during the playoffs. He caught everything.
Thanks for the call, Danny. And
not wrong. Did you see that dime that he caught against the Chiefs?
I'm going to have to ask him to move out of Dartmouth with a take like that. I mean,
you know what? Hey, Danny from Dartmouth, you know what's just about 45 minutes up 24? The South Shore, the true best place in Massachusetts and all of the world. You're welcome there anytime. Or if you're not a South Shore fan, why don't you just hop down 195 to 25? Don't go over the Bourne Bridge. Ride down along the canal. Go over the Sagamore Bridge. You're welcome in Dennisport anytime.
Okay, with takes like that, he should be hanging out with you. Mac Hollins is going to be a star receiver. What are we talking about?
But he could be Mac Hollins could be an impact player.
What?
He's not going to be a star receiver. What good is he? Okay.
On what
could
team?
Give you? Let's say he gives you 33 catches. Gives you a full Larry Bird this year, right? 4 touchdowns. Couple of big first downs. Okay, still not worth $4.2 million. We need a wide receiver one. Fine. How about the special teams value that he brings you, Andy?
Okay.
Okay,
he's a special teamer. I have no problem with him contributing on special teams.
Okay,
and my
wide receiver 5 plus special teams plus
wide receiver 5, and we're talking about him
now, Andy. You have to get 5 receivers, and maybe Mac Hollins comes in and pushes some of these kids. Plus, then you add in the intangibles: leadership, good vibes, positive people in the locker room, experienced veterans, not a knucklehead. That's 4.2 well spent, if you ask me.
Equipment room doesn't have to hand out shoes to him, so you save on your Nike contract.
You and contract. The no-shoes. For somebody who professes he's a member of No Shoes Nation, you are kind of reversing your policy on air and contradicting yourself.
No shoes are like basketball jerseys. The only place it's appropriate is by the pool or the beach. Otherwise, put your damn shoes on. What is this, the outfield at Fenway Park, and you think you're Tristan frickin' Casas here?
Well, they're going to get along just fine.
And what is this advent of shoeless people, shoeless performers and athletes in town?
They say it's good. It's good for you. It's called grounding. You've never heard of this?
I was grounded before
in touch
in my life.
Reality.
No, it's called grounding. You're supposed
things,
to touch the earth
say.
With your feet, and it's supposed to be good for your health.
Yeah, but you're not actually touching the earth when he walks into a stadium. There's concrete. There's pavement. There's rugs. I could see it if he was in the garden. I think there's farmers that do that. Like, ooh, I got to feel the soil, and I can get in touch with Mother Nature and all that. That's fine. You're actually touching the earth. When you're walking into Ralph Wilson Stadium or whatever, Highmark Stadium, you're not touching the earth. You're not connecting with anything other than cold concrete.
The football spirits.
Oh, God.
The great legends of previous Bills games. Come on now. Shoes are so freaking overrated. Socks suck.
No What's thanks. Worse, Nick?
Clip that.
Shoes or cupcakes?
Cupcakes by a frosting top.
Ugh. So but, you would like...
I love not wearing shoes. But, you know, Memorial Day to Labor Day, it's like, that's white wearing season, bitches. I'm all about no shoes whenever possible.
You're like one of those people. Have you ever seen the people that run the half marathons and the marathons with no shoes? The minimalist movement?
No, like, and I also do not wear those sneakers, those shoe sneaker things.
Vibrams?
The foot gloves? Oh, God.
The five fingers? Yeah. No, the people, and I remember running when I was training for the marathon. There were literally people who would run barefoot, and it just looked so painful. You don't have any support. The wear and tear. What about glass and screws and everything on the street? Yes, Dan.
Where, I cannot where wait until when the fall rolls around and you guys are back at Gillette for a Patriots Monday, and in walks Mac Hollins to sit down on the couch next to Andy Hart without his shoes on.
Ah, the same way Chris Price once had to rub lotion on James Harrison. I'll clip his nails if I have to.
Oh, that's disgusting. I hate feet. I hate nails. I hate when people clip them in my presence if I can hear it. That's disgusting. If he shows up for an interview with no shoes on, he's not coming on the air. 617-779-7937. We are reacting to the Mac Hollins signing. Is he going to be a sneaky contributor, as Danny in Dartmouth says? Is he going to be a little bit of a contributor and a special teamer and maybe a mentor to the other receivers, as Fitzy says? Or is he going to be a pain in the ass, as I say, and annoying because he doesn't wear shoes?
Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So when you start to look at how things unfold in the NFL, it's simple if you want to rebuild your team and get your team back to where it needs to be. And I think a great thing was what we saw with DK Metcalf going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, signing, based on what reports you read, it's anywhere from $132 million to $150 million. If you're the New England Patriots, You need to pick up the phone right now and get on the horn with Pittsburgh Steelers and say, okay, we're willing to give you a second round pick for George Pickens, because George Pickens wants a new contract.
Yep.
And if you look at what he's been able to do his first few years in the NFL, he's been a very, very good wide receiver. I don't know if you're going to have to pay him the DK Metcalf type of contract, but you could probably get him for a good contract now rather than waiting and not doing it, and then he has a really good year next year, and then they franchise tag him, and then now their price tag goes up. So if you're the New England Patriots, and you know Pittsburgh basically just said, okay, here's our new number one wide receiver, you know that's going to rub George Pickens the wrong way. He's now going to want out. You need to be all over getting a guy like George Pickens, who you had an opportunity to get in the draft a couple years ago, but you chose to go with Tyquan Thornton, I believe it was.
Uh-huh.
So now, why not fix the mistake that you made? George Pickens averages probably about 16 yards a catch. He's at a 1,000-yard season. He's still a young kid. And you could get him for a lot less and give Drake May a weapon that he so badly needs.
Will we hear from Derek, the Steelers fan, today? I'm sure we probably will.
I'm sure.
And Hill dog.
Do you think George Pickens is happy about DK Metcalf going there?
Hell no.
So he probably
but he's not happy about anything.
I think he would want out more so now than ever before.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yeah. And Chime, that's part of why you go after George Pickens, because
Jay Cortez in the Twitch chat, Jay Cortez 43 says terrible lead.
Well, why, you wouldn't want George Pickens?
Well, you're basically saying that you would give the Steelers a better pick for Pickens than they gave up for DK Metcalf.
Oh, they gave up a second round pick for DK Metcalf?
Yeah.
But
the Patriots wouldn't do it for DK Metcalf. Why would they do it for Pickens?
Well, yeah. Maybe
they've made it absolutely clear they're not trading any picks for players. They're only going to sign guys in free agency.
So, all right, maybe you offer them, maybe you say, hey, we'll give you a third round pick. Because the Steelers now, maybe the Steelers, you know that the Steelers like, all right, they don't even want to deal with the headache of George Pickens.
They won't even send like a seventh round pick just for basically the negotiating rights to Christian Kirk. Like, they're not going to send a second or third round pick to the Steelers for Pickens.
So if they're not going to do that, then that tells me that the Patriots are not going to be able to do much of anything.
Correct. Yep, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to sign a couple guys, and they're going to be middling guys, and they're not going to be anybody exciting, and that's going to be kind of how it is.
Because in order to get the guys that are really going to transform your team, you're going to have to trade for those guys. We brought up Trey Hendricks, who's the defensive end in Cincinnati, who had 17 sacks last year. You're going to have to trade for a guy like him. Mm-hmm. We're already talking about you have to trade for T. Higgins. Yeah. If that's the case, Shami, if you don't think they'll at least pick up the phone knowing that they might even be able to get George Pickens, I said a second round, but maybe you can get him for a third round pick. You're not even going to do that?
They're not going to call about Cooper Kupp. They're not going to call about any of these guys. Like, they have, it seems to me, they have zero interest in giving up any draft capital whatsoever. They might actually pay guys, but they're not going to overspend like crazy, like 5 years, $130 million for DK Metcalf or whatever the number was exactly. And they're just, that's just kind of how they're going to play ball.
That's how it seems now. But correct. We're early.
Yeah, negotiating doesn't start till noontime today. It seems at least in the trade market, the Patriots are uninterested.
We have to give some benefit of the doubt at some point and hope that we get some incredible news later.
But there's not many free agents out there that
are going to be
big splashes.
Yeah.
So if you're not willing to take advantage of the trade market.
Yeah.
The biggest name to watch, it seems, at noontime would be Chris Godwin. That's what it looks
right.
like. Right. Which would be a good signing.
Maybe they're all in on him.
But that's like that's an offensive version of Harold Landry. It's a good signing,
yeah.
But it's not...
It's not a giant shime off the greasy pole-like right. splash.
It's like, not aggressive like they're claiming to be.
If they
also, bad news on the greasy pole.
Terrible news.
They denied, and they were harumphing about it up there.
Not happy with us, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They denied Scheim. They basically were harumphing that there's a 5-year waiting list on the greasy pole.
And to assume that I could jump it is insane.
And how dare this radio show assume that somebody could just jump the line and get on the greasy pole?
They said they were getting angry people calling them up saying, what's going on? How is Scheim going over me? Yeah, I've been waiting on this.
Some greasy pollers had their bathing suits in a bunch over the fact that Scheim might get on the greasy pole.
They can't do it any other time that they're not normally doing it for everybody else because it costs like $5,000 or something.
It does. It costs $5,000 for the grease. And so they don't want to pre-grease on Friday.
Yeah. Could do a GoFundMe.
We could.
We could just make our own.
I think we should at least have a pole on the ground that is greased and just see how Scheim would do on the ground.
I think they might be outraged if we did our own greasy pole.
That might be more dangerous than doing it over the ocean.
Because at least if you land in the water, it's not too bad. Right. But if you land on concrete.
I mean, we could do it adjacent, like greasy pole adjacent. But I feel like they might be all worked up over there in Gloucester.
Well, so I had another thought, Greg. We need to find like a... basically an adult wipeout course. Send me there, and I'll do the entire course.
It's a lot of work, though. We're going to be in Gloucester. They'd grease us.
I know. I honestly, for a moment or two, I considered canceling the whole entire Gloucester roadshow.
Right, because we're like greasing them.
There was outrage on the part of the town fathers or town mothers.
You can't do that to Mike Milbury.
No, that's the best part is that the people that were outraged were on a phone call with Ken. Yes. And Mike Milbury. Yeah. And Mike Milbury's like laughing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So maybe we don't even give them any juice by saying the name of the poll.
Right.
We
right.
just completely eliminate that.
You know? Right. We're out here in Gloucester. You want to go Pig Latin?
Yeah, we're out here in Gloucester and there's something over there that people are doing.
EC Gray, old pay.
Yeah. Wow, you would think that they'd be like,
embrace it.
Yeah.
We should rig something up at the Beachcomber.
Also, no disrespect to anybody up there, but how big of a hardo are you if you've been on the greasy pole wait list for 5, 6, 7 years?
Pretty big.
I mean, how many people want to do it, and how many do they get in a weekend?
Right.
You'd think you could run through that wait list. It's like the Celtics or the Patriots season ticket list. Right. Like,
you can rifle off 1,000 guys in one day. Like, it's not that hard.
And then they tried to go with, like, we got to make sure the tide, whatever. It's like, we'll come the night before. Have Scheim do it.
Would they only allow, like, 20 people per run?
I don't know anything about it. I'm intrigued now.
Because I would think that if there is a waiting list, it can't be that many people that
they're allowed. If Bonnie Blue can go through greasy poles, 1,000 of them, in 24 hours.
Yeah, we should be able to move.
She's going 1,000.
Yeah.
I also want to make this very clear. I was excited about doing this, and I am mad and upset that I can't do it.
Right. I understand. I mean,
it's a gut punch.
I was, if I had been on the call, I would have said, hey, how about a little
you know, maybe a little donation to the policeman's ball or whatever.
Right.
Would that grease the skids on getting us on there? But didn't happen.
Apparently, right. Squeaky wheels don't get the grease.
I guess not. Right. All right. We got to take a break.